Hello, this is Nobo A. Calypso. Running an hour difference today. It's 7 o'clock Arizona time, and this program runs 6 o'clock Pacific time. And I was sitting with my headphones all set to go at 6 o'clock. But I suppose it's going to be 7 o'clock Arizona time until March. So from November till March. I guess we Arizonians, you know, think we're rather special because we don't change our time. For daylight saving time. That is my Moluccan cockatoo, Jasmine. I call her my bird wife because she's in the center of the house and she dictates what should be and what shouldn't, and she has to have her eyes on everybody all the time or you hear that sound. And I'm sitting back to where she can't see me, so if I lean forward, yeah, she would be happier. She needs to remind me of that every once in a while. I want to discuss a couple things. First of all, I get emails of charts and services I have to offer because it's really not in depth in my the web page. There's the main thing that people that I do with individuals on a first time basis is they'll have what I call a session, and that's where I take their initial information, which is their full birth name and their full birth date. I usually like to get the time of birth, but not everybody can get that, but I'd like to get that as well. And then I do a reading based on that, which is detailed into what is going on with their patterns, and I can discuss things they should be doing as opposed to what they're doing presently. A lot of people have followed this Western thing of hurry up, go to school, get out, go to college, da-di-da-di-da, and they find out that what they're doing doesn't resonate with them, and I find that in the charts. I find where the person should be, what they should be doing, who they should be doing it with, and kind of get them on that right track. We don't have the type of culture that really brings out a lot of the talents and gifts and skills that we are supposed to bring forward and share with other people, like communication skills, artistic skills, inspirational skills, people skills, analyzing skills, research skills, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, people get lumped into a certain category and they get thrust into this, like, automaton's walk. And a lot of people feel asleep and dazed. But when they have the mystical numerology, they basically, it resonates. It resonates with them. So a lot of stuff the people say to me, well, I knew that I should have done that when I was a kid. And it's like, yes, most of the things that resonated with us when we were children were more accurate than how they resonate with us today. And then that's because of the conditioning and, well, et cetera, et cetera. When I work with someone for the first time, they'll have what I call a session. Some people contact me every few months to have another session because there has to be movement. There just has to be movement. And in mystical numerology, there is, and I see the move, but there always has to be a movement, and things do move. To say that something is set or stationary is going against the, it's just going against nature, so there has to be movement. Anyway, so there's that. And then there's calendars that I do. This is very extensive work, and I do calendars day by day, bringing out a person's highest vibration. For instance, there's a lot of, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of energy and a lot, we're, we get kind of confused of what we should be doing or shouldn't. When you look at the calendar, it heightens a certain vibration, and so we just go with that vibration, and everything turns out well. It's a good focus. It's a good discipline, and it works with all the uncertainties, and it works with things within the environment. And then there's this type. There's a chart that I used to do some years ago, and I stopped doing it for a while because people were into self-improvement, and the sessions were basically okay with them. And that is, I run cycles, and this as well is extensive. This is a little bit more extensive than the calendars. I run cycles for people, and I find out the best times for finances, health, and love. That's a category that maybe a client would call them. I would certainly call it something different. But those are things that I find for my. I find out what the challenges are, when the best times are for these three different happenings. I see it differently, but it is along those terms. So those are the three main ones that I do. I also run compatibility charts, and that's to compare two people's patterns. And I also do FLL charts. Those are family life lessons charts. And that usually works with a family that has a lot of conflict, a family that has had a lot of downward spiral processes, which other people will call codependent, which, you know, I think is a pretty overused word. I don't like it. Or dysfunctional is another word that I just absolutely cannot stand. But I just see it as a downward process. The process has taken a turn. And then I go in, I run the entire family's charts, and I find out why they've come together, how to enhance their living together, and why there is the things happening. And then we go in there and we fix it. Anyway, those are the main charts that I do, the sessions, the daily calendars, the cycle charts, the compatibility, and the FLL. So if you're interested, it's best to let me know which one you're interested in doing. Now I want to explain to you why I do this full time. It's not something that I chose to do. Let's not say that. It's not something that when I was a kid I said, well, I'm going to be a mystical numerologist. My work, as I said last week, was always based in the community. And I worked with various groups of people. And I used my science, and I used my gifts, and I used my talents. Whether they were conventional or not, I didn't really care. I felt that they were a little bit more accurate. So I used them to help the people that I was with, and it worked. But there's two main reasons why I stopped working within the community, because the work that I did was always, it always had the government involvement, it always had insurance company involvement. So it was wrapped up with very fundamental conservative organizations and institutions, which is okay in itself. I think that our government has great foresight. It's whether a government employee is going to institute that and look for provisions is another story. But from what I've seen in the government and the different articles, there is provisions for everything. But I found 9 times out of 10, the government employee just didn't want to do the job. So, you know, the client suffered. And the government really does have great foresight. So it's nothing to do with the government, but it has more to do with insurance companies. The two main reasons why I left working in that type of structure was because of medications and what's called the DSM, the DSM-4. And I don't know, there could be some of you who know what that is. It's the Diagnostical Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. To be quite frank, I was sick to death of it. I just well, I worked with teens in crisis. There it was. I worked with the elders. There it was. I worked with in behavior health. There it was. I worked with developmentally disabled. There it was. And the DSM, I think it's four or five now. I'm not too certain. I worked with the four. It's a manual put out by the American Psychiatric Institute that actually works with symptoms, and then it gives a diagnosis based on these symptoms. And the difficulty there is these diagnoses stay with the person for life, and I don't agree with that. And also, the DSM is very controversial because every year they find about 10, 12 different diagnoses in there that are incorrect. And it's just the whole thing about the DSM is that it's used, the insurance companies demand a diagnosis. So, you know, if this one looks to be, you know, what this person's experiencing, boom, they're bipolar or they're considered personality disorder or all these crazy things. And it's the whole thing is it stigmatizes a person once that goes on the paperwork. Boom, that's it. I totally disagree with that. I don't agree on stigmatizing people. So there is one called the intermittent explosive disorder that one of the young men I was working with was this was plopped on him. It was plopped on him like a gold anvil. And then he was put on Geodin. And I'll tell you something, his whole life changed. He was a completely different person. So the medications and the DSM really thwarted me from doing any kind of work within this that structure ever again, because you can't go against it. There's no matter how much I would sit and argue with case managers and with doctors and people, it's too bad. This is their diagnosis. The insurance company wants it. Boom. He has intermittent explosive disorder. Here's your Geodin. We'll see in a few more months. And I saw him completely waste away. He went from a very athletic, active young man weighing about 150 pounds to well over 250 pounds, toothless. And he must have aged at least 20 years. That was it for me. I don't agree with those type of diagnoses, especially since it's ordered by insurance companies. That just drives me insane. So that whole process is one I'm not in agreement with. I don't agree in that definitive approach that just because this book says that this is a diagnosis, we're also dealing with the controversial book where next year this diagnosis may come under question, but my client, Tim, has to wear this for the rest of his life. In fact, he was put in an institution after he was diagnosed with that and given Geodin. It just completely turned him into a spiral downwards, and I was just heartbroken. And that was that work with the developmentally disabled stopped right then and there. When I did argue, you know, they called me the squeaky wheel. And then they said this really strange thing to me. They said, well, you've been red flagged. And I didn't know what that term meant. And it's like red flagged. So that means stop, that I should stop. They said, no, you've been red flagged. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, that means that we're going to be paying attention to you. So it's like, well, so you're going to be paying attention to what I'm saying. No, we're going to be paying attention to you. Well, what does that mean? I thought that you case managers were overworked, so how can you spend that extra time paying attention to me? The whole thing was just insane. So the diagnosis is from the DSM, just I had my tolerance and limit with that. And I knew these people through their vibrations and patterns. I knew why Tim had this thing that was called intermittent explosive disorder. And my main concern with him is that he was the person that responded from triggers. And so to me, I think a better term for him would be trigger sensitive. And as long as you were aware of what those triggers were and you didn't use those triggers, the young man did well. And as long as we work together on trying to let go of these triggers, trying to heal these things that happened to cause the triggers, he was doing well. But when he got that that diagnosis of intermittent explosive disorder, that was it. Other places and people didn't want anything to do with him. He was isolated. It was horrible. It was just absolutely horrible. And he was a seizure. He had seizure disorder. So the medications too were a bit much. They were way too much for me. When I worked with Alzheimer's, the amount of medications that they place the Alzheimer's clients on patients was just outrageous. I mean, we're talking about over 500 milligrams of Seroquel a day, and Depakote was high. Seroquel, Depakote, and Zyprexa. Zyprexa just drove me insane, because when you give and the milligrams are very high. They were 400 or 500 milligrams as well, and they were both basically trying to keep these people in the zombie position when all you had to do was give them more activities, pay attention to them. But activities were the best thing. But with the Zyprexa, if they weren't languid, they just kept forgetting that they ate, and it was absolutely incredible. So what I had done is grouped them all into one doctor. And I had the doctor control the meds and take them down, and then we just gave them more activities. So with my science, I don't see things that the DSM sees. Intermittent explosive disorder. I did see this young man had so many fours running against each other that in itself caused a great deal of difficulty, and he had other things that were going on. With mystical numerology, I can even tell when there's the term schizophrenia. I can tell in a person's chart, there's a comparison within the vibrations to that term, only because the term exists. But I could see that, and I've counseled a lot of people regarding this and why it exists, because it makes sense. So because of the DSM and because of the medications were these alien chemicals and substances to put inside the human body in such large dosages and for such long periods of time was not something that I agreed with. And the insurance company standing behind this demand in the diagnosis was just a system that I can never, you know, I could never ever win. So I went private. And so now I can help people privately. I certainly don't tell them to get off their meds or, but, you know, we take other approaches to maybe bring the two together. Maybe the meds could be knocked down. There's a naturopath, a medical doctor, a naturopath in Sedona I'd like to send some clients too, because she does kinesiology and she could tell if these meds actually helped the person. 9 times out of 10, she found out that they had no effect whatsoever, no positive effect on the person, and a lot of them could have been lowered down to much more minimum. But as we know, the pharmaceutical companies do want to they want the box. So it was a system that was set as definitive that I absolutely refused to believe in. And I still refuse to believe that it is definitive. So I had gone on my own to help people in a more natural way to really look at the truth of what was going on inside of them and to let them know that, you know, these are natural energies and there's all kinds of people I have around me, nutritionists and homeopaths and naturopaths and all kinds of healers and workers who could set up the right diets, because I can't do that. I can help with some vibrational medicine, but to set up, you know, diet is so important, and a good kinesiologist can tell. And a good nutritionist can tell what the person's lacking. For instance, my client, intermittent explosive disorder, a lot of his came from the thyroid on a physical level, and because, you know, I took him to this nutritionist, and it turned out that he had whacked his head quite a few times on the forehead, which I was unaware of. I knew he had seizure disorder. And when he was a child, I knew he had one every minute. What I didn't know is the family finally told me that he would, when he had a seizure one every minute, he'd whack his head on the kitchen table. And all they did was put a dish rag there when they should have put a helmet on him. So she said most of the difficulties he had were from continuously racking his head. And she started work with this machine, this deep, vibrating, funny-looking machine. I really don't know the name of it, and massaged his head. And he would get better and better and better and better and better, and it would last longer and longer and longer. But then they gave him the intermittent explosive disorder, and they put him on Geodin, and that was that. I fought against it, and they red flagged me. there was basically nothing I could do. If I became a POA, I certainly could have had a lot more say-so in the matter, but the whole thing with my teaching with the developmentally disabled is for them to realize that they're an individual that belong in society. Whatever they want to do in society, they have an entitlement to do that just like everybody else. They have the same freedom. And I would teach them their rights, let them know what their rights are, because I was very, very strong about that. So it wasn't a comfortable and situation, and I had done this for many, many years, and I would switch and work with different groups of people only to see that the same thing existed, the DSM. One of the first things that were taken out from the DSM was homosexuality, because the first DSM had listed it as a disease. And the American Psychiatric Institute had taken this out, I think, back in the 70s. I mean, or 60s or 70s, that it wasn't a disease, that it was basically a choice, and there it was popping back up in the DSM. So I've never tracked the DSM because frankly I just wish that all the therapists and doctors and everybody would just take it and throw it in the trash can, but they can't because of insurance. So I don't pay too much attention to it, but if something like that had crept into there, and this is a manual when I worked with the teens in crisis, it didn't take much training to work with the teens in crisis, but it did take a thorough background check. It did take, I worked with the developmentally disabled. You had to have, like CIT, CIT2, CPR first aid, and some other things. But it didn't take much. And when you were trained to work with the teens in crisis, there was only about a week of training as a, what on earth? Behavior health worker is what I think it was called. And in the office for the behavior health workers was this DSM, again, which it seemed like, this thing was my tail or something, my ball and chain everywhere that I went. There's the DSM. Again, it's like, well, I just can't believe it's here. And there it was. But working with teens, you don't need a great deal of training. And so anybody can flip through this manual and decide that these teens were this certain diagnosis and put it on their paperwork, and this would follow them around. So I was very, very much against that, because we're talking about people that their main jobs are landscapers and they just do this job at night for extra income, and they're listing people with intermittent explosive disorder, and it satisfies the insurance company. Most of the girls that were there, they were all listed with a borderline borderline personality disorder, which was just insane. There was a couple young girls that had been impregnated by their fathers, and you know, they weren't doing too well in life, and they had the baby too, living with the family, but they weren't doing too well in life, and I certainly understood that. And so one of the workers would diagnose them with borderline personality disorder, and I just found the whole thing offensive. It was just incredibly offensive, because once it goes on the paperwork, where those people go to, that paperwork follows them. And I feel as if it's an unfair system. And yes, I do find mystical numerology much more accurate, because it brings out the truth and it brings out individual patterns. And it shows that there can be movement. One can, the patterns can move. And when they move, they, become enhanced by other patterns. So there's always a way of working with them, by refining certain energies, by, enhancing other energies. So in mystical numerology, I saw greater accuracy, and I'd work with them based on what I found in their charts, and there's a lot of people who improved, and so you know they thought I was casting spells on them and doing hocus pocus stuff, but it wasn't. It's we're just talking about energy, and I'm interpreting the energy. So needless to say, I'm no longer involved with the DSM. I'm no longer involved with the medications, and I'm pleased, because it became overwhelming. It just became something that was just so overwhelming, and I think it's so overwhelming in our society that how fast somebody with a child with a lot of energy can be considered attention deficit disorder, or compulsive, that compulsive behavior thing, and it was just extraordinary how fast that they put these kids on meds, and then it's an alien substance to the body. It's very alien, and they go crazy. They just go berserk. I have seen medications that have helped, but they were usually at a very small dosage and had been monitored, because the government does set up, like if you use hallucinogenics, the government wants this monitored, and I agreed with that. And they want every 3 months you had to, the doctor had to say why this person had to be on the hallucinogenic. And I agree with that. Because the government is actually saying, okay, we don't feel as if they should be on this for life. We don't feel their behavior should be managed by these drugs for life, like risperidone. But if they need them for more time, we want you to document to us why. And a lot of people don't know that about the government. And so it wasn't so much against the government as it was against this system type thing. Because the government works within the diagnoses. The government doesn't make the diagnoses. The practitioners and the doctors, and they make the diagnoses based on the DSM. But the government clearly states that if you're going to put someone on a psychotropic or on a hallucinogenic, you know, it should be short term, and if you're going to do it longer, you have to tell us why. And that's the only thing that I was in full agreement with, because that I feel is very it's very fair to the to an individual, especially an individual who can't speak for him or herself, like children, teens, Alzheimer's, behavior health, people who have POAs, developmentally disabled. Most of the parents that I worked with who had adult developmentally disabled, just they would administer the medications because they didn't want their benefits cut off. And so it only took more people are considered their own guardians, like when they reach past 21 years of age, if their parents didn't file for them to be a guardian. That's another thing. You really have to prove a lot in court to become someone's guardian. I was pleased about that. So the government says, no, not anyone could just be this person's guardian. We want to know why. So I felt was very good. So when I talk about the system with the medications and the insurance companies and the DSM, it's more to do with a system than through the government, because the government doesn't hand out medications. They don't prescribe medication, except for, you know, an employee, someone who works for a government agency, let's say, like an Army, the VA, or something like that. But it's still, it's not, I don't see the government as handing out these things. It's just part of a system. So I left some years ago, and I've been independent since then, and now I can help people on a much larger level. I don't tell people I can heal them, but I certainly give answers where answers were not there before, because I don't look at mystical numerology as definitive either. I don't look at anything as definitive. I think that everything must have expansion and it must change. That's why my concern with the DSM and the medications was so strong, because it didn't. It's like putting people in a pillory for the rest of their life. And I just felt it was so unfair. You know, some of the psychotropics, the clients would get tardive dyskinesia and they'd just be shaking all the time, and then they take another medication for the tardive dyskinesia. And it was just, well, you know, that's the side effects from the psychotropic. And it was a lot of those people were really trying to not break into society, but to become included, to have solidarity, to become included in society, to have a sense of belonging. And here they are shaking like a leaf. And it just didn't help. I mean, it didn't help. And then there's a lot of people who felt as if the developmentally disabled should be put back into the institutions, because we have this ongoing process of emptying all the institutions, which I think comes from Kennedy. By a certain year, all the institutions should be emptied out. And a lot of people still feel that the developmentally disabled should be institutionalized. And that actually comes from an opinion of royalty in Europe. They had locked their autistic children away, you know, cerebral palsy, things like that. I don't think that we should be following that same. I mean, we separated from there, for heaven's sakes. To me, the rights of America are the rights that are afforded to everybody, and that's that. Shut up. I'm very strong about that. Why should they be institutionalized? The government does open up wonderful community-based organizations, and there's group homes. They fund group homes and day centers and all kinds of wonderful things. And the greatest thing about the developmentally disabled is that they want a sense of belonging, and that's it. And if you honor and respect these people and open up your community to them in homes, you'll find that you're working with very unique individuals. So that was another thing that kind of bothered me. And I consider that like part of a system. And so I left from that as well. I didn't want to be around that type of negativity, you know, people always discussing this with me, and I didn't want to discuss it. I didn't have an opinion about it. I felt as if what was happening, what the government was doing, was right, and that was that. So my work gave me a lot of experience, working with all kinds of different individuals. And that's how I came to a strong understanding about the processes in people's charts, because I was worked in that field for about 20 years, that type of system, and ran all these charts. And I began to see the same vibration duplicated again in other people that were diagnosed with intermittent explosive disorder, or, you know, these diagnoses from the DSM. I saw that there was patterns in the chart that were certainly not intermittent explosive disorders, but would lock the person into a certain fixed state until something had triggered an anger, because that was beside it as well. But they were also patterns that could be turned into the opposite pole and worked with creatively. And it worked. So a lot of the experience of me working with very powerful charts had come from doing so many, you know, doing the family's charts, doing the client's charts, doing the friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and just helping people through there. And I found that mystical numerology had the greater answers than a system that wanted to be fixed and definitive to say there is no other way to do this. This is the only way to go. And that's, you know, that's very Western. My choice was not to be a part of it any longer. I had greater security working, financial security working, within the system. And that's the only thing that it's like, But, I didn't have a sense of fulfillment at all. I didn't feel a sense of fulfillment that I was truly, truly, truly helping other people. I felt as if I was a puppet. I felt as if I was an ultimatum. If I had questioned something, I would have to carry my red flag. The system people around there, not the government, but government workers, can be very, very, very critical people, because they have this thing called CYA, cover your ass. And they're more concerned about CYA than almost anything else. I saw that there's a lot of freedoms that I could do, say, take 4 clients out to SeaWorld, because that's a fun thing to do. But if it affected their job in any way, then it's something that I couldn't do, because there was nothing that the government said, don't do this. In fact, the government opens up doors to say, yes, this is a great thing to do. So that was a bit of a bore, to always have to consider the CYA of government and government workers. And you never knew when you were going to violate this. I mean, you just had no idea. When a CYA could be violated, when it wasn't, I felt, you know, that was very silly and tiring. So, 9 times out of 10, I didn't pay too much attention to it until they explained to me I had been red flagged again, because I took 4 clients to SeaWorld. In fact, they had, there was a couple of case managers who wanted to bring me up on, kidnapping charges, which astounded me, because I had the blessings from the clients' families, and money for them to spend out there that the clients' families had given to them, and that's what I went by. If this is what the family wanted for their family member, that's what we would do. I never thought that a government employee would want to bring me up on kidnapping charges, only because of CYA. Which I found out. And I just think that's very silly, because they had grown so much out in SeaWorld. A couple of the clients, they, within a diagnosis, it says they cannot be within large crowds. Well, I don't know what that diagnosis meant, because these specific clients went to SeaWorld, and that's a lot of crowds, and to, I took them to Tina Turner concerts and Cher. And as long as they felt safe with a person, as long as they felt safe, and I wasn't telling them to be afraid, or as long as they felt safe within our bubble of environment, like, okay, we're going to drive down there. It's going to be safe. We're going to go see this wonderful concert, which is going to be fun. And then we're going to get some hot dogs, which are going to be yummy. And then we're going to come back and we're going to be safe. And so it was fine. So I really don't know who made that diagnosis, but, that was one of the things that I would try to get changed. I would try to get diagnoses changed all the time. It's like, he is okay being in crowds when he feels safe with another person. He shouldn't be stigmatized. It's like, well, that's the diagnosis that a psychologist gave to him, and, you know, you're not a psychologist, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but it's unfair for a future provider to work with him who may not take him out, because it says right here that he is afraid of crowds when he wasn't. It's only when he felt unsafe with the person who would take him there, he certainly wouldn't wander to a Cher concert on his own. That young man was supposed to die at age 17. I took him on as a client when he was 16 and a half. He's still alive today. I worked with him for 4 years. So I'm not in total agreement with these diagnoses. And I love to work with all people. I love working with people. I'm very passionate about it. I give people my all. And I do a lot of research involved with every client, every person that I work with. When I speak something, it's usually backed up with facts, because I'll research something for a long time. Sometimes when I have a chart to do on someone, the vibrations can be so strong that it will take me days to work on the chart. And there may be other things that I need to, you know, rest, because some of these charts are really heavy. One time I did a chart for the daughter wanted a chart done for her father, who had lived in Louisiana, in one of these small Louisiana towns. And people, it was one of the most frightening charts I'd ever gone into. It took me 5 days to do this, to complete this chart, because the energy was so heavy. And a lot of things I discovered. I discovered that within the chart that he molested children, and he did. And I discovered in this chart that he had killed somebody and gotten away with it. And he did. So, and that's not a psychic thing. It's just there. You know, all these things they're there. But the daughter wanted the chart done, so I took my time to work with this chart, no matter how many days it took, and no matter what amount of energy it took from me. My interest is in my client. My interest is seeing someone be happy in life. We are all supposed to be happy. We are all supposed to live fulfilled. We are all supposed to be joyful. Sure, there's lessons that we're to learn, but they're not supposed to be linger the rest of our lives. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to let go. There's a lot of things that we have to forgive, and there's a lot of things that we have to change. But we all have the ability to do so, because we have that spirit of our authentic self. We have heart. So, the work that I do is solely for a client's benefit, and I will stop at nothing to bring forth truth to help this person. And it usually works. The only time that I've seen it doesn't is when a person is so fixed, like just so fixed, and refuses it to change themselves and their patterns, or there's manipulation. And I get that. I've been getting that more recently, where people will try to exploit my time or they'll try to rely on my sympathy, and I'm not about that. I have empathy, but I don't sympathize, because I believe that there's a process, and all one has to do is work themselves through the process step by step. You know, I don't think that anything is supposed to just suddenly change. But, you know, there is change, but it could come at a really nice step-by-step pace. So I'll help a client work towards that, and I'll work hard for the client if the client wishes me to do so. Most times the client wants to do these things on his own or her own, and that's fine, and then contact me every once in a while. Okay, I've gone here. What is my next step? Yadi-da-di-da, to where I don't have to hold their hand. If someone needed me to do so, I would do that, working with people with addictions. If they make a commitment, and if they stay away from those old crowds, I'm more than happy to work with them. But if they're not going to make the commitment, there's just nothing that I can do. So I still do the same work of helping people. I am so based on being a helpmate for humanity. It's within my chart. It's been within my vibrations to help humanity as much as I possibly can. And since I don't work with the DSM or the medications, I could do that a lot better. You know, I have much greater effect. We have a call from Carol from Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? What part of Pennsylvania?
Mercer.
What's it called?
Small little wee town. A small town. Listen, you know what? Can you give me an idea of where my life's going in direction here?
I could give you a brief. What's your birthday?
9/26/1960.
Oh, you have a zero in there. That's wonderful.
I'm going to learn how to do this numerology, I'll tell you.
Well, it's kind of, and the only reason why I'm going to say this to you is because I don't want you to be frustrated, but a lot of people today feel as if they could just pick up a book and do something, but it's kind of like I'm a professional with this, and I've been well-educated and well-trained with this, and I think it's best to go to a professional. So I think that you would find more frustration than not, and I think it's always good to talk to a professional like you're doing now. So my hat's off to you for calling in. I do want to tell you, people with zeros in their birth date are very unique individuals.
Oh.
Carol. Okay. And one thing you have to realize is that is a very you're going to find that most of your expression is within community service. It's when working with things of beauty. It's within family. It's within nesting. It's within the arts. Things like that is where you're going to find a lot of your fulfillment. But the day that you were born on, you don't have your own business?
Nope. No, I don't.
You're chock full of sexes.
Well, is that good or bad?
Carol, it's fabulous for the rest of the world, but I'm just wondering how you handle it, because it's taken on responsibility. A lot of responsibility. It's
exactly.
Always given to other people, always nurturing other people, always sacrificing, always serving. It's always trying to, it's a feeling of always trying to do well with others. It's, and doing multitasking at this at the same time. Now, the thing with you, and I'd really like for, now remember that this is just a brief. I could spend 2 hours on a person's birthday. But
right.
The thing with you, Carol, is that you have really good ideas. And I don't think you're bringing these ideas forward. You have excellent, excellent, excellent business ideas. And you need to bring these forward because you're supposed to bring them forward in your own business, whether the business is with flowers, with trees, with beauty, with art, with serving, no matter what it is, within, you know, beauty, arts, and service. It is based on your ideas, not someone else's. Like if someone said to you, oh, Carol, you know, you are so warm and compassionate and you're so great with your hands. Why don't you be a beautician? She's like, oh, yeah, I like to serve people. I love to entertain. I love to talk with people. That's not it. It has to be your idea of what you think works well for people. That's what it's about. What are some ideas that you've tossed around in your head over the years?
Oh, boy. It's usually taking care of other people. It's always in how to make other people, you know.
Okay. This is where.
Solving people's problems.
Yeah, see, that's because of the 60 in your chart, and you come out to a 15-6. But it's based on your ideas within a business. That's what you have to look at because you are good. And that's just for granted. No matter what you do, you're going to be fabulous with people because you really care. You have a deep benevolence for them. You really genuinely care. Bit of a perfectionist, but that's okay. Sometimes we look at perfection as a control thing. But the main thing with you is you can't self-debilitate, one. And two is you have to say, what do I feel is a good idea that would really help these people? And boom, that's where your idea is. There's two things I want to tell you is one, there is a national organization called a teddy bear something or other where people take these teddy bears around. I forget what the teddy bears are called, but they take these teddy bears around to these these chronically ill patients in the hospital. And this has become very national, and it's worked mostly through donations, and it's a huge organization. Do you know a 9-year-old girl started that?
Oh, really?
Because she said, what do I think will make these people happy? Mm-hmm. Okay, then the second thing that I'd like for you to keep in mind is before the Civil War, 98% of Americans had their own business. It was industrial revolution and commercializing everything that changed. So what you have to say is how much am I being influenced by other people's thinking because I want to please them so much. So you have to say, I am Carol from Pennsylvania, and I have wonderful ideas that will really benefit humanity, that will teach people to balance their emotions, balance their life. I could bring beauty into people's lives, and I'm going to go forward with this idea. That's what you're supposed to do.
Alrighty then.
So those ideas that you have, it is okay to say, this is my idea for people. That's all right. This is how I feel people will benefit from this and go with that because you're going to serve people and please them anyway, and that's just a given.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, that could be done to help people, you know.
But what does Carol think is one of...
In the meantime.
But what does Carol think is one of her good ideas? Not many things that could be done to help people. What is some of the things that Carol feels that she can do? That's what you have to look at. And you have to, you because you're a person that's multi-talented and multi-gifted, you have to prioritize this. What would be, you know, item number one? What would be item number two? What would be item number three? One of the things, along the ideas would be like that. If a 9-year-old girl who thought, I think that chronically ill people should have purple teddy bears, that's taken her idea that turned into a national organization. But it was actually her idea. And that's what Carol has to do. It's based on your idea.
Okay. And you think it would do well?
It will do. It will do well as long as it comes from your idea, because you're already organized. You have an ability. You have a very good organizational ability. You're very good at supervising. You're very good at managing other people's lives. You're very good with this. What is a way to manage other people's lives that would consistently bring beauty into their lives? That's what you have to look at.
Right.
And, Carol, you're supposed to have your own business, so this November is the time to build on such things.
This November.
Yeah, this is a huge building month. Don't get lost in the holidays. Don't put off to the new year. Start it this month. It's a fantastic month to build in.
Yeah.
It's a great month to build. Start making your plans. Write a list. Remember, use your abilities for management within there.
Okay.
And you'll do great. And remember, you're a very unique individual. There's no mold for you on this planet, so stop looking for one.
Okay.
You create.
I'm my own person now. Really, I am. I'm pretty independent. I'm pretty, this is me, and this is the way it is, and that's it.
Right. That's the way it has to be.
Well, but everybody thinks like that, I would hope. Not
everybody. Why do we have so many people working for corporations? Look into that for yourself, because this is what you're supposed to do. And I've got to wrap up the show. Carol, thank you so much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And thank you to all who's listened. Malou here, please be good to yourselves and build this this November. If you need help with what you are to build, please get in contact with me through BBS Radio. Malou here.